So hello everyone and welcome. I'm really excited to be here tonight for three ways your digestive health affects your energy, your mood, and your sex drive. And I'm not going to just leave you hanging with how it affects it, how to restore balance using my proven system for gut healing. I'm Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo. Many of you know me already. For some of you, I'm new. And if you're new to our community and you haven't been on webinars with me before, from the bottom of my heart, I welcome you. I am passionate about getting a message out there as how to restore your health through natural means. And it's a passion that I've been doing for a really long time. So we're going to do a little bit of housekeeping stuff at the beginning, and then we're going to go right into the presentation. One of the housekeeping things that I want to do is I kind of want to make sure that we tune into like you're in the right place. So the importance of digestive wellness, why is it so important? Your digestion is everything. Your digestion is the way that the outside world gets into your body, that the food gets into your body and gets to become your cells and gets to repair your cells and gets to have the functioning that you want, you deserve. So when your digestion breaks down, what that means is you're not efficiently getting in all the foods, all the nutrients from the foods you're eating and getting them to the right places, getting them to your joints so they can repair and stay healthy and lubricated, getting them to your brain so your brain can be focused and sharp and not feeling like it's in a fog. Getting to your hormones so you can have good thyroid function, meaning that you have, good metabolic rate, you're not gaining weight even though you're not eating, going to your adrenal glands so you can escape from danger, and going to your sex glands so you can create the hormones needed for healthy periods, healthy pregnancy and delivery, and healthy sex drive. It's responsible for everything, your skin, your hair, your nails. Many things I didn't say. So, body parts who I didn't mention, please excuse me. I'm not leaving you out. We're just in the light of time. I just want you to know it's responsible for everything. And if your digestion is broken, it's really hard to fix the rest of you. So, if you've been dealing with health challenges, if you've been dealing with joint pain, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, brittle nails, skin issues, hormone issues, inability to think straight, memory problems, depression, anxiety. I could go on and on all day. If you're dealing with those issues and you just jump in and address those issues, you're not going to fix your problem, at least not long term. You might have some temporary band-aids over it, but you can't fix it unless you get your gut healed. It's really that important and that critical because everything goes through there. So, before we actually jump in and begin our presentation, I just want you to know that the information that I'm sharing isn't intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional, and it's not medical advice. I'm going to be sharing a little bit about the inner workings of your body, what things can go wrong, and how you can restore balance. But everything I'm sharing is education. It's from my research and experience, clinical experience. I've had over 23 years of clinical experience working with patients in the trenches, so to speak, and all my research. And I do a lot of it, by the way, and reading and just learning constantly. So that's what I'm sharing with you. So if you're under the care of a doctor, if you have any health challenges, you have to make any decisions about your health, on medications, whatever, this stuff can help, but you need to discuss it with your doctor before you dump medications or decide to make wholesale changes. Make sure that you've got a doctor on board. So, education, not medical advice, just to be clear. So, I just want to make sure that you came to the right webinar. You didn't intend to go to one on finances or stocks or whatever. There's a lot of stuff going on here, and there's a lot of things that can be suggestive of gut problems that don't actually come out that way. So, a lot of people have trouble with their pant size being different at night than it is in the morning because you get bloated and gassy. You're in the right place if that's you, because we can absolutely give you some tips to help with that. If your moods are unpredictable, you're finding it hard to focus, you're Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, snapping at your kids and then, cuddling with them all in one breath. That's a good thing to be here for. if your sex drive is gone and you really want to have it back. Now, some people's sex drive is gone and they don't want to have it back. They don't care. But maybe the other people in your life care. And it's just a sign of something else being out of balance. So even if you really don't want your sex drive back, having your sex hormones in balance is super, super important. And then if you're having trouble losing weight in spite of eating a relatively clean diet, and I see it all the time, people aren't necessarily eating the right foods for them, and their digestion is not quite handling those foods the way they should. So all of these things are what we're going to cover tonight. And I'm just going to give you a quick synopsis of what we're going to learn, and then I'm going to jump in to having you learn it. It's always good at the beginning of anything that you're learning is to get a synopsis. You know, tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you told them, because it helps you to tune in to the various components of the presentation. I would highly recommend that before we jump in, I just want to share something really important. If you really want to learn and you're really dedicated to your health, which I know you are because you're here, what I would like you to do is dispense with the thought that comes into your mind sometimes. If you've heard something before and I'm saying it and you're going, oh, I already knew that. As soon as you say, I already knew that, you tune out the rest of the conversation and you may miss the one gem that can make a difference. If you come to an hour-long presentation and you get 1, 2, 3 gems of information, differences in the way you look at something that could affect your behavior and then affect your health, it's worth it. So some of the stuff I'm saying you might have heard before. Maybe you won't have heard it in the same light, and there's likely to be a ton of stuff that you've never heard before or that you have heard before but not quite put this way. So what we're going to learn is, how do you know if your gut is contributing to symptoms elsewhere? Because it's not necessarily your gut, right, if you're depressed, but there's a good chance that it is your gut if you're depressed. So how do you know if it's your gut? And how do you make your awareness? And I've got some really good clues. You're also going to learn how your gut's connected to your brain. And there's a nerve called the vagus nerve. And that's one of the ways that it's connected, but there's a whole lot of other ways. And what's the impact that your gut has on your mood, your focus, and your ability to digest your food? But also, what is the way that your mood and your focus and your stress level affects the way you handle food and the way your gut functions? We're also going to go over what hormones actually control digestion. Say what? A lot of people say that. They go, what? Hormones don't control digestion. It's like, it's my stomach and my intestines. They control digestion. No, actually, the key players are hormones. And how does your digestion affect your hormones? And we also want to talk about leaky gut, because I'm likely you've heard of leaky gut. If you haven't, great, we'll define it. If you have, great, we'll define it and give you an idea of what's really going on there. Because a lot of times you hear these terms and you don't quite fully understand. Or if you do, you may not see the implications. So you may know what leaky gut is, and that part will be a review. Some of you don't. And it'd be good if you put into the chat whether you know what leaky gut is or not. And then how does that leaky gut affect everything else? How does it affect your thyroid, your adrenals, your sex hormones, and your blood sugar regulating hormones? All of these are hormones. Sex hormones aren't the only hormones. A lot of people think that. But the thyroid, adrenal, sex hormones, blood sugar regulating hormones. How does that affect it? And how does that result in you feeling exhausted or gaining weight or having no sex drive? And finally, I'm going to give you a summary. I'm going to take you through the steps of what it takes to restore. We're certainly not going to cover everything it's going to take for you to do that in 1 hour long presentation, but I'm going to outline the steps for you. And it's the steps that I've been using with my clients, with my patients, thousands of them, and probably tens of thousands of them if you count everybody online, over the last 23 years with amazing results. Even people who've been struggling with trying to get their gut healed, leaky gut protocols, years of that, and finally getting the solutions through the step-by-step process. And I like to reward you for staying until the end, because I have a lot of stuff, and it's easy to get distracted and say, oh, I'll catch this on the replay. There may not be a replay. We weren't able to have a replay of the last one because the replay was hosed. So that happens sometimes with technology. So I've got two really good tools to get you started. One's something that you can do every day, and one's something that you can do periodically to test out. So one's an action to help restore your gut, and it's actually a recipe. I'll give you a hint. And the other one is a very nice little protocol for you to assess what's going on in a particular part of your digestion. So I'm going to give you that at the end as a reward for staying. So there's me, and, you know, pretty fit. And, you know, I think I'm pretty active and agile, and I feel great, and I have a great life, and my digestion is pretty darn good. However, it wasn't always like that. When I was back in my 20s, and that's like a long time ago, I'll date myself, it was over 30 years ago. I was in my 20s, I was struggling, and I did what every, you know, 20-something person does when they're having health issues, when they're having bloating and they're having burning in their stomach and headaches and other kinds of issues. I went to the doctor. And actually, I went to multiple doctors, because I went to one doctor for the sinuses and one doctor for the headaches and another doctor for the stomach stuff. And I didn't get answers. I struggled with what's going on. I was put on ulcer medication. I was put on Valium. I was put on steroid injections for my sinuses. And nothing was really helping. And I was feeling pretty miserable. And it was one fated day in the gastroenterologist's office when he came back to me and said, "Well, we have good news. We just got the results of your tests back and you don't have an ulcer." And I went, "Great, I'm so excited, great news. So what's wrong and how do I get rid of this burning in my stomach? Why do I my burn every time I eat?" And I said, "We don't know," which took me by surprise, because up until then I just really respected doctors and thought they were kind of deities, that they knew everything. And I said, "So what do I do then? If you don't know, what am I going to do about it?" And he said to me, "Just take the ulcer medication." And for some reason, divine intervention or something, a thought came into my head. Like, wow, if I'm taking ulcer medications for an ulcer that I don't have when I'm 25, what problems could that cause? And what am I going to be like when I'm 50? So I said to him, "Well, could it be my diet?" Because at the time, I was a very big junk food eater. I was eating lots of Pringles and what were my favorites? M&Ms. And I say Cheetos a lot when I'm joking around, but I wasn't eating a lot of Cheetos. But it was Pringles and M&Ms and ice cream. And I didn't eat much in the way of healthy food, or what we consider healthy food now. And I thought, well, maybe that's it. You know, the food goes through my belly and my belly hurts. Maybe that's it. And the doctor said, oh, he laughed at me. He said, "Oh, that's ridiculous. Of course not." Well, in some ways it can. Just drink a lot of milk and it'll coat your stomach so that it doesn't hurt so much. And take the ulcer medication and it'll reduce the acid so then it won't hurt so much. Well, I decided to take that as a challenge. And I went to the only place you could go back then to research, which was the public library, long before the internet. And I went to the library and I started researching. I took piles and piles of books. And to make a long story short, because this went on for quite a while, you know, a couple of years, I researched and I changed my diet and I did this and I did that. And I finally did find a doctor, a Russian doctor, who said that most American doctors didn't know what they were talking about. And in Russia, they did alternative stuff. And she taught me about food allergies and candida overgrowth. And I was getting decent results, but then I would backtrack and I would getting decent results and then I'd feel awful again and I couldn't tell why. So I knew I was kind of on the right track, but I didn't know what really to do. And until I kept researching and reading and researching and reading. And I finally found out about cleansing and toxicity and clearing out your gut and getting rid of all that stuff. And I went through processes and I finally was able to help myself and I got better and I've never turned back. And I've been amazingly healthy ever since. And I'm amazingly grateful, eminently grateful that I had that experience in my 20s. Because now I have that information and the experience that I could share. So long story short, again, I went and I left my job. I was making a very good salary as a computer programmer analyst at the time, left my job and went to school. I got my licenses in chiropractic and acupuncture and nutrition, and then discovered a amazing healing technique called HeartMath, which I studied and got licensed in, and then herbal medicine. So I've acquired a lot of knowledge and education and worked with a lot of patients over the years. And I'm distilling down for you in this program tonight some information about how you can use what I've learned over those years and what I've experienced with working with patients to help your gut get better. So this is why I do what I do today. And I love to share this picture. It just really warms my heart. On the left-hand side are three people who I lost too early. My mom, my dad, and my much younger sister, like 6 year younger sister, Kathy. And they left us too soon. My mom in this picture, it was actually 3 weeks before she died at the age of 56. My dad died 2 years later at the age of 64. Too young to leave. Way too young to leave. And funny thing was, I thought of them as old people. Flash over to the other side is my family. My family is, you know, my husband Scott and Eric and Kevin, and I adore them, and they mean the world to me. And to me, I want to be around for them. I want to be energetic and successful and just there for them. And I am, I'm doing it. And in this picture on the right-hand side, this is my son, Eric, on his way to his first year of college. This is me. When I looked at these pictures side by side, it hit me. We're the same age. My mom and I are the same age, exactly to the month in these pictures. And I look at them and I think I look substantially younger. That maybe it's just my ego getting in the way. I think I look substantially younger. And I certainly had a lot more energy than my mom did at that age. And I'm doing everything in my power to protect my heart because I have her genes. I have her genes. But what I have different than what she has is a lifestyle. And what I've learned over the last several decades since her death that has helped me to become vibrant. My sister died of lymphoma. She wasn't open to hearing what I had to say nutritionally. And it's sad. And I want to save you from that. Not only do I want to save you from the suffering, my mom didn't really suffer. She just suddenly had a heart attack and died. Same with my dad. My sister did suffer for 3 months on chemo and radiation and all that before she passed. But I want to save you from that. I also want to save your families from the horror, the horrific pain of losing loved ones. And so this is about your digestion, and your digestion is the seat of all of it. And we're going to go into it now. So let's start with, what the heck does your digestive tract do? We all know we eat food, the digestive tract digests it. What does it really do? It basically takes the nutrients you eat and puts them into a particular, or the foods you eat, and turns them into the nutrients that your cells, your body can use. That's in a nutshell. So what you eat becomes you. And so if you want to be vibrant and energetic and strong, you want to eat foods that are vibrant, full of energy, and that make you strong. So let's look at a few things about the digestion. Just as a summary, some of you already know this from high school biology, and some of you it's a review. But I like to really break things down into simple terms. There are three main functions of digestion. Three. One is digestion, which is breaking down the food into molecules your body can use. Number two is absorption, right? Taking those nutrients that your body has broken down through digestion, getting them into your system, getting them into your bloodstream so they can be distributed and used to eliminate toxins, to repair, to just make you function really well, give you energy. And then finally, elimination, which is removing the wastes from the body. There are three main parts of the digestive tract that handle these things, but there is some overlap. And we're not going to go into detailed digestive anatomy. If you want that, then join my practitioner training program because we do go through it there. So this is kind of what your digestive tract looks like. Obviously, your mouth and your pharynx is, you know, in your neck, and there's a thing called the epiglottis that when you eat food, it keeps your food from going down the lungs, because there's another thing here, you know, called the trachea. But it goes down your esophagus into your stomach, where protein digestion starts. So it's really important to have strong stomach acid. Contrary to popular belief, we do not have excess stomach acid. Most of us have low. And the stomach starts to break down the protein and the minerals. comes around, goes into the upper part of the small intestine, where this pancreas sitting right here, this yellow globby thing, looks a little bit shiny, secretes enzymes. And this green thing over here is your gallbladder, and it secretes bile that had been produced by the liver. The gallbladder stores it into the upper part of the small intestine called the duodenum. And that's where that first part of digestion I talked about happens. That's the digestion, breaking it down. And then these little nutrients mosey their way along down the small intestine into a lower part called the jejunum. The jejunum part is where the absorption happens. And there's little villi, and I'll show you a little close-up of that, because that's where some of the things that can go wrong happen. And once all the nutrients are absorbed, then what we have it go into what's called the large intestine. And the reason it's called the large intestine is because it's large in diameter, not length. The small intestine is actually a lot longer than the large intestine, but it's the diameter. See how skinny this is and see how wide. The job of the large intestine is to suck out whatever remaining nutrients might be there. You know, a few minerals get sucked out there, and then to take out some of the water, because it's a very liquidy kind of concoction your food becomes as it makes its way through the digestive tract. And then it comes out through the rectum. Well, sits in the rectum for a while and then comes out the anus. So that's it. And the appendix is actually the immune system in your gut, although there's immune system throughout the entire gut. So that's, I think, everything you need to know in a nutshell so that you can understand what I'm talking to you about as far as the care and feeding of your digestive tract. A lot of people say, well, why do you teach people how this works? Because I find that when you know how something works, how your body works, you're better able to make choices about making it work properly. If you don't know how it works, it's just a black hole. And somebody, you read one day that this food is good for you and this is bad. And the next day you read somewhere else that the other food is bad and this is good. If you don't understand what's going on and how they work, then you're confused. And big time. It's the internet's here, and it's great to have all this information, but sometimes it's information overload. You know, sometimes it's a little easier to figure out back in the day when I had to go to the library and carry home big stacks of books. That's how my arms got so strong. No, I'm just joking. So first thing we're going to look at is, how do you know if your gut is contributing to symptoms in other parts of your body? Well, you start out with questionnaires. A lot of you came to this webinar after having taken a gut quiz that I put out there. And if you haven't, then when we'll make sure that you have that link. But it's a quiz that you could take that has a bunch of questions. And some people ask me, well, what do these questions have to do with the gut? And on the next slide, I'm going to show you a list of some of those symptoms anyway, and what they have to do with the gut. So targeted questionnaires. When I work with people in my clients or my patients, I'm going a little deeper than that quiz did. I summarized that down to 25 questions. But in reality, we have quizzes or questionnaires that have targeted questions about each of the sections of your gut and about the other parts that your gut can affect. So we can determine where your gut might be falling down, and then what other areas it's affecting. But there are also things like blood testing, and the routine blood test that your doctor does, you sometimes on an annual basis, maybe every 2 years, and sometimes 6 month basis if you've got pathology going on. But what happens there is that in that routine blood test, there are some things that show up that most doctors overlook that indicate that there's not good absorption. And then there's also specialized testing. There's tests you can send off to the lab, like stool testing and a certain kind of urine test that tests for markers that indicate that the gut is off. And then there's a few home tests. And one of the home tests I'm going to give you a copy of later on is something you can do at home to detect how fast your food is going through your digestive tract. But there are others. You can test for how your stomach acid is doing. There's a couple of tests for that. You can test for your mineral absorption. There's a lot of things that you can test at home, and a lot of them that you can test in the lab. So that composite will give us an idea of whether your gut is contributing to your depression. So if your primary problem is depression and anxiety or joint pain or eczema, and you go to the doctor, they're going to look at that problem, right? They're going to say, oh, well, here's some corticosteroid cream to put on your eczema. Oh, and here's some pills to take for your for your headaches. You know, maybe they're painkillers or anti-inflammatories. And here's some antidepressants. Here's some sleeping pills. In reality, they're not fixing the problem, because if the gut is involved, you need to fix the gut. So the targeted questions will give you an idea. And the quiz that we gave you a score of A, B, C, or F. And I jumped to F instead of going through D, because that's how my kids' school does it. So I figured we'd do that and make it a little easier. But depending on what score you got, some people were surprised that they got a C because they feel like they're eating a healthy diet. Let me just jump in here. Like, what causes your digestion to get messed up anyway? And that's a really good question to look at. And people say, well, I'm eating a really good diet. But what were you eating that really good diet all your life? Like for me, I'm eating a really good diet, but I had horrible diet when I was growing up. You know, the Kool-Aid and the white bread and the white pasta and just so many things that affected me. And I then made a change. If I made a change in my diet, and this is why I had so much trouble at the beginning of my trying to solve this, is I changed the diet, but I didn't change it significantly enough to completely heal. And I didn't know about some of the herbal therapeutics and some of the nutrients I needed to jumpstart the healing. So there's more than just changing the diet. Changing the diet is critical and it's very important. And sometimes that alone will solve the problems. But if you're changing your diet and you think you're eating a good diet, it might not be the perfect diet for you right now. And I'd love to help you explore what that is. So other things that cause the problem with the gut is early exposure and throughout your life exposure to antibiotics. And if you're like me, we were raised on, you know, every sniffle, you went to the doctor and got another antibiotic because they were the new wonder drug back then. And by the time I was 5, I had my tonsils removed, which means I was on many rounds of antibiotics to get there. When I was 2 months old, I had a hernia operation. And of course, you have to go on antibiotics when you're having a surgery because you can run the risk of infection. So I was on antibiotics from 2 months old, probably all the way through till I was 5. And then fairly often after that. So by the time I hit my teens and my 20s, my digestion was a mess. So antibiotics in the food you're eating. So if you're eating commercially raised animal products like dairy products, eggs, meat, that has been raised in factory farming conditions where they're just loading them up with antibiotics to keep them from killing each other from infection, you've got a problem there. If you've been on steroid medications for anything, you know, an autoimmune disease, a skin thing, anything where you're taking steroids, that disrupts your gut, as well as birth control pills, which I was put on those when I was in my teens to regulate my cycle. Because again, it was new and we didn't know so much about what the side effects were, but they disrupt gut flora big time. They disrupt your gut and digestion big time. Stress affects it. So we're going to talk as we go through when we get to the how do we combat this about more of the causes and then some of the solutions. But I just want you to know there's so many things that affect it. So even if you are eating a great diet and you thought you had got an A on that questionnaire and you took it and you feel like my questionnaire is flawed, then it's probably not flawed. It's probably just that you've got some remnants of when you weren't eating such a good diet and taking such good care of yourself. You know, a lot of people will say to me, but I'm vegan, I'm on a plant-based diet, I'm eating lots of greens. And it's really frustrating if you're doing all that stuff, you've given up gluten, but there may be just a few extra things that you need to do to clear it up, to heal it up, and to go further. So here are some of the symptoms. Most of these I asked you about on that questionnaire, on that quiz. And the obvious ones that are related to the gut, of course, is bloating, gas, flatulence, burping, pain after you eat. And interestingly enough, I've had people say to me, well, but isn't it normal to have flatulence after eating or right before you have to have a bowel movement? I said, no. Isn't it normal to burp after you eat? No, it's a sign that something's not going right. And it's a wake-up thing you have to look at. So if you scored higher than you thought you would on that report card, meaning you got a worse score, then some of these things that maybe you thought were normal are not. And we think they're normal because everybody, quote unquote, has them, because if you watch TV or read the newspapers, there's constantly the ads for the various and sundry things that help these, like hemorrhoids. Oh yeah, we see that on TV, Preparation H, who doesn't know what that is, right? Because of hemorrhoids, well, hemorrhoids aren't normal, has to do with a low fiber diet. And so going back to the whole causes, the standard American diet, which is devoid of fiber and is loaded with processed foods, is clearly a disaster for the gut. And so hemorrhoids are caused a lot of times by having low fiber and poor food. Irritable bowel, you know, a lot of times there's food allergies that cause that. Diarrhea, constipation, and then some more serious stuff like Crohn's disease, which is an inflammatory bowel disease and an autoimmune disease of the gut where there's ulcerations. Diverticulitis, where there's inflammation in the little pockets in your large intestine. Colitis, which is in general term for inflammation. Heartburn and ulcers. These are serious things that can leave you, you know, really uncomfortable. And all of them, in my experience, are reversible. I'm not saying that every single case of them are reversible, but in my experience, all of them can be reversible. It just depends on where you're at. And I see it all the time. And that means that you make changes and you heal it, and then you have to not go back to the habits that caused it in the first place. That's what I mean by reversible. Because in any case, if you are on bad habits and those habits are causing you to destroy your body and you get it all healed and then you go back to those old habits, the problems are going to happen again. So the not so obvious signs that your digestion needs help are things with your skin like acne and eczema and various kinds of dermatitises. Various things related to your brain, like brain fog, fatigue, depression, anxiety, ADD, and even headaches. And interestingly enough, people say, well, what's brain fog? I don't know if I have brain fog. And they ask, then you probably don't have it. Because if I say brain fog, even if you've never heard the term or used the term before, and you have it, you relate to it, you go, oh, I have brain fog. Yes, that's the name of it. When I've said this to other people, I said it to my husband once years ago, you know, when I was first struggling with all this stuff, and I said brain fog, and you're like, what the heck is brain fog? And literally, it feels like you have your head in a cloud because your brain is not just getting the energy, and plus it's got a lot of toxins going on there. There's a lot of things related to hormones that could be related to your gut because the hormones are very intricately tied, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Thyroid imbalance, adrenal fatigue, blood sugar imbalance. And then there's stuff related to your immune system, like allergies and autoimmune disease and frequent illness and asthma. And then things related to your musculoskeletal system, like joint pain and fibromyalgia. All of these things can be a sign that there's something going on in your gut. Now, does every single case of these on the right-hand side mean that you have a problem with your gut? No. But if you have a few of the ones on the left and all of them or a few of them on the right, its chances are good. But even if you don't have any of the ones that are obvious, there's a possibility. I'm not saying a probability. There's a good possibility. So how does your digestive health affect your energy, your mood, and your sex drive after all? Well, there's three ways that we'll talk about tonight. There's probably a dozen or two that I work with people on in my programs, but nutrient absorption and toxin absorption is the number one. So when your gut is supposed to break down those nutrients and filter them and, you know, send them on through the gut lining, and it's supposed to filter out toxins. And what do we mean by toxins? Well, things like pesticides, herbicides, various and sundry medications have toxic effects on the body. The preservatives, the additives, the food colorings, various and sundry chemicals that are in your hair care products, your makeup, etc. Those are toxins. Now, you're not eating your hair care products and your makeup, so that's probably not affecting your gut so much. But when you're taking these in, the job of the gut lining is to filter the toxins so they don't get in your bloodstream and they just get sent out in your poop, just to be really blunt about it. And the nutrients, they actually have a transport mechanism in the lining of the gut, an active transport where there has to be a pulling them in. They don't just slither through there. There's a mechanism, and there's different mechanisms for different ones. And there's little, what we call villi in the intestinal tract. And think of them as like fingers, right? You've got, if you hold up your right hand and you take your fingers and you just start waving them, that's kind of like the beating action of the villi in your intestinal tract. And those help push the food along. And in between, there's spots where the food can get absorbed, but also on each of those villi, there's microvilli, and the foods can get absorbed. When we have damage to the gut, and there's lots of things that can cause damage to the gut, we have a damage to that mechanism of absorbing the nutrients and filtering the toxins. That can be a serious issue for your brain, your hormones, and it'll affect your energy because all of those toxins are getting into your bloodstream, mounting an immune response and causing you to not have the proper functioning. And also the nutrients, those organs and glands need the nutrients. Your brain needs nutrients. Your brain needs amino acids and B vitamins in order to make what's called neurotransmitters, which help you to you think and to feel happy and to have appropriate attention. That's how your brain works. And when you don't have the nutrients absorbed, you get toxins. So let's move on and look at a couple of stories. So a digestion recovery story. This was somebody I worked with who, when she came in to see me, she wasn't really complaining of major gut stuff. You know, the people come in sometimes and they're doubled over and they have heartburn. She wasn't there. Now, when I did my evaluations, it was clear that she had some gut stuff, but her main complaint was joint pain and this rash. And this rash on her fingers, if you look at that picture, it's called psoriatic arthritis. She had psoriatic arthritis and they put her on steroids because that's all the doctors knew how to do. And she didn't like the effects of the steroids because it was causing her to gain weight. And that's what steroids do. And so she came and she heard about me. She came to see me and I did the evaluation and I determined that she had a lot of nutrient imbalances. She had a lot of toxicity in her diet. We needed to clean that up. That was getting into her gut and also getting into her bloodstream. She had food allergies. And so we started her on a leaky gut repair program and cleaned up her diet. And it took a while to get it all right, but not more than a couple of months. And actually, she was feeling better within a couple of weeks. And after a couple of months, everything was cleared up and she was feeling great. And this is a key sign that she didn't come in to see me because she had ulcers. She didn't come to see me because she had stomach pain or bloating or gas. She came to see me because she had this skin rash. So clear case of that and clear case of how cleaning up the gut helps it. So let's look at how your gut's connected to your brain. There's a nerve called the vagus nerve. We'll look at that in a moment. And it communicates between the gut and the brain. It's part of what's called your parasympathetic nervous system. And what impact does that have on your mood, focus, and ability to digest the food? Because you need to have an intact vagus nerve in order to have your food digesting. It's imperative. So what are the ways that the gut is connected to the brain? Well, we've got the vagus nerve, right? Which I said, it comes from the brain stem and down through and down and affects the diaphragm, through the diaphragm and affects the gut. It affects the motility of the gut, which means how well things move through the gut. It affects the enzyme production in the gut. It affects everything related to the gut. And a lot of people have impairment in the vagus nerve because they have some stuff going on in their neck or their brain, or because they're in this sympathetic dominant state, meaning stressed out, in other words. So there's a lot of ways that you can do. There's specific things you can do to stimulate the vagus nerve. One of the ways is to gargle. So it actually starts to stimulate the vagus nerve and can wake up your digestion. So try it sometime. Just put some water back and just start gargling. And if you are having trouble with your gut, see if that makes a difference. It's just one thing, but it's a little action step that you can take away. The other way that the gut's connected to your brain is via neurotransmitters. And I mentioned those before, and there's two key ones, dopamine and serotonin, that reside in the gut as well. They're actually considered part of the gut hormonal milieu. And the neurotransmitters, dopamine and serotonin, actually 80% of serotonin is produced in the gut. So we have that happening. And then also when we don't absorb the aminos, it has a problem. We're going to go into more about leaky gut and allergies in just a moment. But that's a way that the gut and the brain are connected. Things, toxins leak in, we have allergic reactions to them, it creates inflammation, and it affects mood, memory, focus, and with the vagus nerve and stress, the ability to digest food. So let's talk a little bit about the psychology of digestion too, because I believe that digestion doesn't begin in your gut, it begins in your head and your heart. And the thoughts that you're having, the stress response you're having, affects how well you digest. When you're under stress, you produce two of the main hormones are adrenaline and cortisol. And adrenaline gives you that quick, fast fight flight so you can run and jump and get out of the way and your heartbeat rate goes But the cortisol lasts longer to sustain it. And the cortisol shuts down your digestion. Because if you're running away from a tiger, you're under stress, your body knows that it's not a good idea to be digesting food. So it basically shuts down the sphincters, the little valves between the sections of it. So maybe you get constipated when you're under a lot of stress. And it opens up the valves at the very beginning to let things out. So when you're under acute stress, you might have this evacuation or feel like you need to. But then how does relaxation affect it? There are a lot of things that you can do to change this. So when you get into this stressed out mode, and usually you're not having a tiger chasing you, right? You might be stressed out because of finances, because your kid's schedule, and because your work schedule and traffic jams and so many other things in our modern life. You may get really just upset at your computer because it's not working the way you want it to work. So these are all the things that you get stressed out about, and there's ways to shift it. So your body remains in the part of the nervous system, the parasympathetic part, where that vagus nerve comes into play. And you can shift it at will. Would you like to learn? Type in the chat if you would like to learn a way that you can shift that stress response at will in a matter of anywhere from 30 seconds to 2 minutes, maybe 5 at the most if you're really, really in a messed up situation. I would like to teach you that, and I will teach you that later. Later on. I want to tell you another digestion recovery story of the effect of digestion on the brain, though. This was many years ago when I was pretty much a couple of years only into practice, and a guy came to see me and he had MS-like symptoms. I say MS-like symptoms because he didn't officially have the complete presentation of MS on his brain. He had a little few kind of spots on his brain that looked like it could be. But he was having, you know, inability to walk for very long, and he was having weakness and foot drop and all this stuff. So I did a full evaluation and examination on him, and I discovered that he had a leaky gut, and he had digestive things that were going on, and he had a lot of food allergies. So I put him on a program, and I also incorporated some adjustments because I'm a chiropractor, and that's part of it as well. I did that, and I got him to change the diet, and he got on the right fats, and he helped to restore his gut. And after just several weeks, he started to get his strength back, and he started to be able to walk. And I remember the story he told me. It was Christmas time, and he was leaving my office. The last time he had left my office, it had been Christmas time, and this was into January. And he said, when I left your office, I went to the mall with my daughter. She wanted to go Christmas shopping. She's a teenager. And I thought, well, you know, I'll probably spend a lot of time sitting on the bench because that's the way it would be, you know, walk a little bit, sit on the bench, walk a little bit, sit on the bench. He goes, I was shocked that I was able to walk through the entire mall and keep up with her and be there for a couple of hours. And what a joy to get that life back. It's priceless, isn't it? To be able to get that relationship back, that connection back, and the ability to do those simple things that sometimes can be lost. So that's a severe implication of how the gut affects the brain. I've had other cases where people do fecal implants and they start to have resolution of their brain symptoms and their nervous system symptoms. And fecal implants, for those of you who don't know what that is, it's basically a way to get bacteria, the good gut bugs, from one person into another person. And yeah, it's kind of messy because you're basically taking their stool and smashing it up and injecting it via an enema into you. But it's something that's been studied and is being used a lot lately, and especially in very severe cases like that. And there are a lot of things online, if you were to look, about fecal implants and neurologic things like MS. So we're going to take a look at the hormones now. So how do the hormones and the gut play together and dance together, and how do they get to be at war together sometimes? So I want to help you to keep everything in balance. This is a chart. I want you to memorize it before the end of the talk. This is a chart I put in there just to show you the complexity of it. We're not going to go through all of these. This is just some of the hormones. There's a lot more. There's probably about 30 more than that. But these are the major hormones that directly control digestion and appetite. So leptin, ghrelin, which is from the stomach and signals hunger, gastrin, which helps produce stomach acid, cholecystokinin, we call it CCK for short, helps to create the pancreatic juices and the gallbladder emptying, and secretin, which helps to stimulate the bicarbonate production and bile and all that. Peptide YY, which inhibits, you know, it has an effect on the gastric motility, all these other things, incretins, gastric inhibitory peptide, GLP, that has an effect on the blood sugar and affects glucagon, which is an insulin, which are related to blood sugar maintenance. So here's how the gut is related to your blood sugar maintenance. And then we have a couple of others. We have somatostatin, which is one of the inhibitories. And then by the bottom, I want to point your attention to dopamine and serotonin. And they both help with the gut. And so if you're deficient in dopamine or serotonin and you don't have the right substrates to make them, you're going to affect not only your brain, but your gut. Okay, so this chart was actually derived and shortened from a chart. It was maybe modified a little bit, but you can find a chart like this on Wikipedia. There was a really nice chart on there, which is much longer than this. So if you're really interested in geeking out on this, that's a good place to go. So what other hormones are that are not necessarily directly involved in digestion? Well, thyroid. If you have a leaky gut and you're leaking toxins into your bloodstream, it can negatively affect your thyroid, which is so sensitive. It's such a sensitive piece of tissue. It's so sensitive to toxins. And also thyroid affects the motility of the gut. So there's a two-way street here. And you can be constipated because it decreases the motility of the gut when your thyroid is low. Cortisol, which is a stress hormone. We already talked about that, how that turns off the digestion. And if you've got an infection in your gut, or if you've got a leaky gut, an inflammation in your gut, or you're eating foods that you're sensitive to, it causes a rise in cortisol because the body perceives it as a stress. Insulin. Insulin is a blood sugar managing hormone, and it's directly affected by the gut. They've even found that microbes in your gut can be out of balance and contribute to diabetes because of the way it affects the pancreas and the ability to create insulin and also the sensitivity of the cells to insulin. So your gut flora or gut bugs have an effect on insulin. It affects estrogen and progesterone. And if you're a woman, one of the ways you might have noticed that estrogen and progesterone affect your gut is that before your period or during your period, you may find yourself with, you know, either diarrhea or bloaty or just a lot of extra activity down there. Growth hormone affects your gut. And growth hormone helps to repair the gut and increase the motility. And then testosterone will help decrease inflammation in the gut. People who are low in testosterone may have an inflammatory bowel as well. So these are all ways that the hormones are involved with the gut. And we'll talk about ways that you can get around some of this. Okay, so three ways your gut health affects your energy, your mood, and your sex drive. First was nutrient and toxin absorption. Second is by interrupting the flow of hormones and neurotransmitters by either not having the right nutrients to make those or by specifically inhibiting or stimulating the secretion. So how does leaky gut and digestive impairment affect your thyroid, adrenals, blood sugar regulating hormones, and sex hormones? Well, we talked briefly about that already, but it definitely, the effect of, if you've got an autoimmune condition of the thyroid, the gut is absolutely implicated. We've already talked about that on the previous slide, so I won't belabor that point. I want to give you a little idea of what leaky gut is. So I'm just going to share with you two slides that are a little geeky, that have a little bit of anatomy on them, just so you get a sense. And I've already showed you with the hand and the fingers on the picture on the left that is not a photograph, but a diagram. And those little finger-like projection are the microvilli and this little enterocyte, that's the villi. And what is happening is that through those finger-like projections, you're having absorption of the nutrients. If you were to lay out your small intestine, it would be as the size of a football field because of the surfaces. So what that does is allow food to go through quickly and still be absorbed because you've got all these great surfaces. But here's the rub. When you have a leaky gut, when you are eating things that are damaging, like for example, gluten can take those little villi and tear them down. So put your hand up again and just fold those fingers down. Now you've got half the surface. That happens, they get blunted by things like gluten and alcohol and caffeine and pesticides. They get broken down. Now break it, fold it all the way down, and you go from being a shag carpet to a Berber carpet to a tile floor. And that tile floor has very little absorptive surfaces, so you're going to end up with a lot of nutrient imbalances and then thus a lot of systemic problems. The one on the left is just an electron micrograph. That's what it actually looks like. That's one of the enterocytes, which is a cell in the small intestine. So I promise you I won't get too much into geekiness, but I want you to see what damage happens to these. So you see these little cells where there's like ulceration. That happens when you're eating foods that are not serving you, when things are going awry. And this is just good bacteria, good gut over here, bad gut over here. Things that contribute to the bad gut and to it breaking down and becoming atrophic, not good. We talked about that already. And here's one last thing about how the gut affects your adrenals. Your adrenals then affect your sex drive, because when you are under adrenal burnout, there's this little hormone called pregnenolone, and it's right there in the middle, right here. And that's the precursor to all your sex hormones, DHA, testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, which control your sex drive. So when you're under stress, your body is shunting all of that pregnenolone into cortisol, or most of it. And so your sex drive goes down, because it's more important to run away from a tiger than to have sex, right? Or to have a sex drive, or to be, you know, cuddly. So that's the way the adrenal burnout steals your sex drive. So finally, we've got leaky gut and inflammation. Inflammation of the gut causes allergens, foods that aren't completely digested, to go through the lining into the bloodstream and create an immune reaction. And thus you have it, the three ways that the digestive health helps your affects your energy, your mood, and your sex drive. The second part of what I promised was what to do about it. So I'm going to talk to you now about how you can restore your digestive health so you can regain your energy, be joyful, don't have mood swings, have your sex drive back, and also fit in your clothes with confidence and comfort, and know that at the end of the day, you're not going to need a larger size pair of pants. So we go through a process called the 4R process. I could spend all day talking about the 4R process. We also have a program that we take people through, a certification program for practitioners. We go into all that detail. You don't need to know that you're not a practitioner. You're a practitioner of yourself. But the first thing you want to do is remove things. You want to remove the foods that hurt your gut. And the checklist that you got as part of this package about before you got to the webinar, there's something called the Happy Belly Checklist. And it was on the page when you first came to the page that had this webinar listed. And it has the top foods that hurt your gut. Remove them. Work them out. Some of them are gluten and dairy and sugar and alcohol and all kinds of processed foods and whatnot. So I don't want to spend the time. You have that. But the top three that I think are important are sugar and processed foods, trans and heated fats, because when you heat fats, you oxidize them and they become rancid. When you have rancid fats, they damage the tissues in your body. And then the third one is allergens, especially gluten, because they irritate and aggravate the lining of the gut. They cause inflammation. They get into the bloodstream. They cause an immune reaction, which then can cross-react with the tissues in your body. So these are ones to start with. You want to remove any allergens. And when I take people through a process, they say, let's do a 3-week or 3-month, depending on how severe they are, elimination of the common allergens, gluten, dairy, egg, corn, peanuts, corn, and soy, and the known allergens. Like somebody will say to me, well, I'm allergic to eggplant. Every time I eat it, my mouth burns. Like I said, how often do you eat it? Well, I eat it some, you know, once a week only. Well, don't eat it at all. So any foods that you eat frequently, you crave, or you don't digest well, you remove. Then you want to remove unfriendly organisms. And there's a lot of processes. There's a lot of protocols for that. Some are better than others. But you've got a balance that needs to go on in your gut. Symbiotic relationship, it's called. Good flora, bad flora. Normally, some of those bad guys are just there. They don't hurt until the good ones get wiped out. When you take antibiotics, when you're on steroids, when you're on birth control pills or other hormone stuff, it can disrupt the gut and create an imbalance in the gut. And so we want to remove those unfriendly organisms. And sometimes it takes heavy hitters. Sometimes it takes some herbs and some specific nutrients to kill them off while you're replenishing and restoring the process. Super is super important. And then there's a whole bunch of stressors you need to remove. Mental and emotional stress, sleep, inflammation, different various things in your foods, your toxic exposures, your environmental stresses. You've got to remove the stresses. And one of my favorite ways to remove the stresses is to do what's called heart math. And I call it mini vacations. And so it's basically a process of taking some breaths, long, slow, deep yoga kind of breaths, and then bringing up a memory or a visualization of a place that you feel that you love or a person that you love to be with, and then feeling a deep sense of appreciation. If you do this before every meal, if you do this before you go to sleep at night, if you just make a habit of doing this throughout the day, set a timer, you're going to see your digestion shift. Yeah, you'll have to do some of the other stuff too, but this is an amazing way to shift it. It has an effect on what's called secretory IgA, which are immune factors in the gut. And when you're under stress, they go down. When you do this heart math process, this mini vacation process, it improves your immune system. Yippee-yay. You want to replace. What do you want to replace? Well, you want to replace enzymes. If you haven't been eating enzyme-rich foods, you want to replace the foods. There's a list of foods and herbs that you can replace the ones that hurt with the ones that help. Again, I'm not going to go through this whole list because it's in the resource that I provided you. You want to build up the mucus layer. That's what these do. Some of them reduce inflammation. Some of them lubricate the digestive tract. Some of them nourish your body fluids. And that's the list. We gave you 3 pages of foods and herbs that help to support your gut in the Happy Belly Checklist. And then there's more of them. This is directly from the Happy Belly Checklist. My 5 top ones. Slippery elm, amazing stuff. Not everybody can take it. Some people might be sensitive to it, but for the most part, most people can, and it's amazing stuff. Totally amazing stuff. I had somebody once said to me, slippery elm is my new best friend, because she was having burning feelings in her gut and she didn't know what to do and didn't want to go on medication. And she started taking slippery elm and it went away, because slippery elm has the ability to coat and soothe and heal. And taken along with licorice root is amazing. And there's something called DGL, because it's a specific chemicals taken out of the licorice. And because it can cause high blood pressure in susceptible people, but you can get DGL or licorice. And I like to combine the 2 powders together and then drink that down and have people do that before the meals. Aloe vera is another one. Awesome for healing the gut. Lots of studies supporting that. Omega-3 rich foods like your hemp seeds and flax seeds and chia seeds, which provide an anti-inflammatory effect on the gut. And then probiotic and prebiotic rich foods. Probiotic rich foods are foods that contain the helpful organisms. They contain things like, you know, lactobacillus and bifidus and other kinds. And the prebiotics feed those. And so coming up with a routine of eating the probiotic and prebiotic rich foods is phenomenal. So the other thing is eating meals that are clean, that are gut soothing, that leave you energetic. And I think that they don't have to be big and fancy, and they have to taste good or you won't do it. So we provided you with the Happy Belly Recipe Guide so you can get some. There's about 20 of the recipes in there, and it's a great place to start. I have a much more detailed book that has about 20-something recipes that I give people when they're doing a gut repair program with me. And this is a recipe for gut healing porridge. It's from the book, but it's a really awesome way to combine things that are really soothing. Again, everybody's unique. So if this doesn't agree with you, find another recipe that does. But most people tolerate chia seeds and psyllium. Some people don't. Some people tolerate chia. Some people don't tolerate psyllium. It's really a matter of you finding and get the guidance you need to find out what you need. These are the amazing foods. And repair. There's a whole process for repairing leaky gut, and we don't have time to go into it tonight. I talked about it earlier. There's a lot of nutrients. There's a lot of foods. You can start with the gut healing foods in that book, but there's a whole process that I take my clients through. And some of those are including the mucilaginous foods and herbs that I talked about. And these actually are like mucus, like replacing it. There's some therapeutic foods. There's some gut healing supplements. There's anti-inflammatories. There's some meal replacements, bitters, carminatives. And we go through a lot of that in my gut healing programs. And then re-inoculate. Put the probiotics back in. Put in the sauerkraut and the kimchi and the kefir and the yogurt and kombucha and Rejuvelac and miso, and finding the ones that work for you and doing supplements when you can't or when you need higher dose. But there is a very specific process for balancing those probiotics. Not all probiotics are good for all people. There's some very specific stuff. And I have access to one of my practitioners in my practitioner training who is amazing at this. And I'll tell you a little bit how we can get her to help you with this. So we've gone through a quick review. I could spend hours talking about this, but we only have an hour and a half together on this webinar. And I want to get as much as I can and get you thinking in the right direction. I've given you some things that you can start with. But I want you to think about it. This is a problem that you need to fix. What is it costing you? What is this digestive imbalance costing you? It's costing you a lot. It's not something you just want to let go. It's costing you, of course, the comfort and the ability to eat food and feel good after you eat. It can be affecting your relationships, because who wants to be around a grumpy person who's depressed and irritable and biting their head off? It can cost you the side effects of medications. So if you're on various medications to try to fix this, it can be costing you in other parts of your body, because every medication has side effects, every single one of them. It can cost you in your inability to participate in the things that you love to do, your fun. It can cost you in clothing, like having to buy new clothing because the waist size is bigger at the end of the day, and the embarrassment of that, and having to wear the pants with the elastic waists and not knowing what to do about it. It can cost you in your brain function, your focus, your memory, and that can affect your job. Are you in a job that's below your true skill level because you don't have the energy or the brain power to do more? That can cost you big time. Think about this. If you're in a $10 an hour job because that's what you have the brain power for, and you have the ability to be in a $15 or $20 an hour job, you have the ability to get promoted at your job and be making more money, think about how much money that's costing you. If you can be making $5 an hour more every week, that's $200 a week. That's $800 a month. And that's $9,600 in a year. It's huge. It's huge what this can be costing you. And sitting on it and saying, well, it'll go away and I'll just go to the doctor and I'll take this medication, is costing you a lot. So if you are experiencing any of the things that I've talked about tonight, I urge you to get the support and the help that you need to get this turned around. And it's really a loss of freedom in general, because you don't have freedom when you cannot say yes to the things you want to say yes to because you're not feeling well. And I just want to share with you that you can have a life with no limits if you take charge of this situation. I want to share with you a few people who have lives with no limits. People who are well up in their ages. This woman's 87 doing competitive gymnastics. This person is 90 years old doing trapeze. You think if they had gas and bloating and discomfort in their gut that they could do these things, the discipline it takes? This is another one. She's my hero. 90 years old. She has my birthday. That's a really challenging thing to do. This guy's 102. He's still cycling. This one's 79 and he's skateboarding. And he started when he was 65. These are the things you can be doing. You can live in a body that feels good and confident. And you don't have to be bikini body to do that. You can feel good and confident in your body and knowing that embarrassing gas is not going to pop out of you, or that you have the energy you need. And I'm not saying you have all these problems, but I'm just saying if you have any of these issues, it's worth it for you to get this resolved, and resolve now, because the longer you wait, the more it costs you. You can be fully present. You can have tons of energy. You can get your brain back, get promotions. You can get your sex drive back. And you can know exactly what to eat. and when to eat it and how to eat it so that you feel comfortable and you don't have the gas and bloating and you feel energetic. You don't feel like you have to take a nap after eating. You can have it all. You just have to get involved and you just have to make the changes. And so what I'd like to do is take you through the process of how the step-by-step process of getting your gut in gear. And I'm going to tell you about a program that I have for helping you with that. And if this is a match for you, then I want you to just go ahead and join me. And if it's not a match for you, great. I want you to take what I've given you today and try to do it on your own. But if you've been struggling for years trying to do it on your own, I highly recommend that you listen up. And if you wait until the end, just hear me through. We have a couple of gifts for you. And as I'm going through and telling you about my program, I'm going to give you some key indicators of how this process works. So we're going to go through these stages. This is what we go through. And I'm going to share with you how we go through it in the program. Discover the healing power of your second brain and assess it to see how it's working. Your second brain is your gut. That's what a lot of scientists are calling it. Optimize your fuel generator for maximum energy. That's that upper part of your gut. It just sounds sexier as your fuel generator. You want to maximize that. Make sure that your body can actually take the food and turn it into nutrients. If you can't, the game's over. Boost your nutrient absorption so you feel amazing. And heal the gut lining. Heal the leaky gut. We have a 30-day leaky gut repair program that we do in this part of the program. Break free of your gut bugs. We have a process, I think it's an 18-day candida parasite cleanse that we do as part of it. Boost your elimination, your large intestine, and your liver to eliminate and get rid of toxins. You need to follow these five steps in order for you to get it. You don't have to follow them necessarily in this order, but these are the pieces that you need to get in order for your gut to start working properly. And it's up to you. I want to see you how I am right now. I wasn't like this in my 20s. I am almost 60. I will be 60 next year. I'm 59 years old. I have more energy than I had when I was in my 20s. I have more energy than most people I know that are in their 20s and 30s. They can't keep up with me. And it wasn't like that, but I got my gut in order and I cleaned it out and I cleaned out the toxins. And I'm sharing with you, instead of you having to spend the hundreds of thousands of dollars I had to and the years to do it, I want to share this with you in a very simple program. And the program is called GRAND, Gut Repair and Alkalizing Nutrition for Digestion. And when you participate in this program, you're going to look forward to eating instead of dreading it, feel energized after eating and throughout the day, experience a sense of calmness and clarity, enjoy better moods, improve relationships, focus better at work, get rid of the embarrassing sounds and odors from down there, and just feel confident that you know exactly what to eat. This is what's included in the program. I'll give you a little brief summary of it. I would love to have you join us for this program, and we're going to give you the strategies you need to get those results and live the body and the life that you truly deserve. So these are the five stages, the five steps. Again, we're going to go through them. Way that we're going to deliver it is five content modules that you get a video, an audio, the handouts for it, and a transcript. Plus, you're going to get a variety of different checklists and handouts and food lists and action guides, action steps in each of these five content modules so that you're not just watching a video and going, okay, now what? We're going to say, okay, here's how you apply that video. Here's what you do. And we have what we call a journal at the end of each module. So you can fill in and tell us how you're doing and ask for help if you need it. We have coaches that read those and give you responses and help you through. So it's a very guided program. You also get live coaching calls with me. And these are group calls and I will answer your questions and I will personally get to know you. If you get involved with this program, I will get to know you and I will be dedicated to your success. We have a recipe collection, which has over 100 pages of delicious, easy to make recipes. They're gut friendly, they're plant-based, and they're mix and match. And if you are not a plant-based eater, you eat a little bit of meat, you can add it to these, but we give you guidelines as to what you should do because a lot of the meats that you're eating are loaded with antibiotics and messing it up. Personally, I do plant-based, but not everybody does. menu guidelines, how to put together breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks if you need them, but we prefer not to have snacks, but if you need them, we teach you that. Program action guide, where you learn exactly what to do. We get you implementation plan and all the stages and the steps from each of the modules. You have a checklist and you can check off. And plus there's a whole interpretation guide in there on how to interpret the assessments. You are going to be guided through figuring out what's going on in your gut, figuring out how to fix it, and get the coaching and support you need to put the actions in place to fix it. We've got the five different modules. In part one is figuring out, well, how you're healing, and we give you some amazing assessments to assess not only your digestive tract, but all the nutrients, to find out what nutrients you're out of balance on, to see how that digestive impairment is affecting your nutrient status. I introduce you to this 4R program in a little bit more depth, and we teach you an at-home methods to measure how your effective your digestive system is running without drawing blood, and without enduring a colonoscopy or having to send in a poop sample. Not that those things aren't super valuable, and we do recommend in some cases that somebody gets a colonoscopy if there's a life-threatening situation possible, or sending in a poop sample, but that we're giving you stuff that you can do at home to figure it out. In part two, we're going to look at those parts, like the upper part. How's your stomach functioning? Do you have enough stomach acid? How is your pancreas function? Are you making enough digestive enzymes? Are you actually got things going on to make the chemicals that you need to break things down? We're also going to give you a process for healing your stomach. So looking at, do you have H. pylori? Looking at, do you have tendency towards gastritis or ulcers? And what can you do to heal it? We're then going to look at the absorption. And that's that lower part. Remember the fingers. Remember the villi, the shag carpet. We're going to look at that to see if that's impaired. And we're going to help you to heal it. We have a 30-day process for healing it that people have had amazing results with. We're going to help you to get rid of those everyday foods. And sometimes they're things like gluten and dairy and sugar and the crackers you're eating. Maybe, maybe not. We're going to go through and help you to decide and discern. In part four, we're going to get those critters out. We're going to help you balance. We're going to help you get that balance going. And there's some very specific things. Some people have heard of things called SIBO or FODMAPs or specific carbohydrates. We're going to demystify that. And we're going to share with you, how do you know if you need to go on that restrictive a diet? Because those are very restrictive diets. And a lot of people are going on them when they don't need to. And then they rebel. They get upset. And then how to get rid of it all. How do you boost up your nutrient, your liver and gallbladder? We have a 3-day little liver gallbladder cleanse. That's really cool. And it's not the drink olive oil and all. I don't do those unless I'm supervising somebody more specifically, more directly, like one-on-one. But we're going to optimize your liver gallbladder and also your large intestine. Do you have constipation or diarrhea? Let's get those under control. So this is what it is. I'm going to give you in a nutshell what you get. You've got the five core training modules. The value of those, I put it $497, because if you were to just get the modules alone, and there are a lot of programs out there where you just get the educational materials, and that's about what they're priced at. You're going to get group coaching calls with me. I put them at a value of $997, mainly because if you were to go to a functional medicine practitioner, or you were to come to see me one-on-one, that's the minimum that I would charge, and you would not be getting as much time, you know, to look at your labs and do all that. So I put it at a value of $997. Those are hour and a half coaching calls with me. So it's coaching and Q&A, and you can get all your questions answered. I do not leave those calls until all the questions are answered. And then you're going to get the gut healing recipe and menu collection. We don't have that for sale on our site. We would probably price it at $47 if we did. The action steps and progress journals, that's giving you the program step by step. If we were to sell that individually, that would be about $197. And then the step-by-step program action guide, that was same thing. We also have a private members only Facebook group. And I, you know, we don't sell that separately, but if I were to open up just a Facebook group and charge people for me getting in there and giving them advice, over the course of this 3 month period, or, you know, we keep it open for you for even past the group, the amount of education that people get on that Facebook group is amazing. The amount of support. I have a practitioner that checks in there a couple of times a day. I check in there, you know, a couple of times a week and sometimes more, and you're going to get amazing support just through that. So I valued it at $297. The total value of this program is $2,232. And I'm not going to charge you that. I could. And if you were to go to a functional medicine practitioner to get this help, you would be paying at least that, because the first visit is $550. Then you have all the testing, and then you have the follow-up visits. And what I'm finding is a lot of functional medicine docs don't get into the how-tos of it, the foods. So that's what the value of this program is. We also are adding in some bonuses to make it helpful for you. We have 2 months access to our Vital Health community, where for 2 months after the program ends, you can get access to continued access to the Facebook group. You can get access to a monthly Q&A call with me. You can get access to our In the Kitchen live food demonstrations, which are lots of fun, and then empowering health topic webinars, which is usually about an hour, 45 minute to an hour presentation on a particular cutting edge health topic. The value of that would be $49.94, because we charge $24.97 for that on a monthly basis. The other thing, remember I talked earlier about how important it was to get rid of all those stresses and to shift your nervous system into parasympathetic. Well, it's hard to do that on your own. So what I did was I recorded 30 days of guidance to take you step by step by step through the process of making this a habit. And so they're little, like, short 4 minute, 5 minute, 2 minute audios that you can listen to, you can download. I have people who put them on their iPhones or they put them on their iPads and they carry them around and they play them. I have people who are still playing them 3 years later because it's a reminder and it's they've transformed and helped. We haven't put it up yet as an individual product. We are going to put that up, and when we do, it'll be $97. You're going to get that absolutely free included with this program because I think it's so critical and so important. You're also going to get a food library. We don't sell it, but it's probably 8 or 10 hours worth of food library. And if you look at what other people are selling food videos for, food prep videos for, $97 is actually underrating what its value is. And here's the deal. It's one thing to go to a functional medicine doctor and have them, you know, analyze and then say, here, eat well. Here's some recipes. It's one thing for me to give you recipes. But if you don't know how to make it, if you can't watch someone in the kitchen making it, sometimes it's difficult. So this is going to really help you to take these skills home and make them your own. This is actually priceless, and we priced it, I don't know why, at $27. I don't think I would sell it for that little. I do give it away in my programs. It's a guide that we put together of all the brands that I use personally and that I've tested out. And it's an amazing resource. It's constantly being updated. A lot of work goes into keeping it up to date with links to people's websites, like the best place that you can get things. And two more bonuses. This is something that my dear friend and colleague, John Robbins, put together, because everybody says, well, it's too expensive to eat healthfully. It's too much. Well, what he did, he put together a little book, 22 Principles of Inexpensive and Healthy Eating. How you can eat well and save money. So that's something that I think is a really great bonus. And I thank you, John. This last bonus is something I alluded to earlier. Steph knows more about the microbiome than just about anybody I know. She is like constantly researching, and she kind of gets like, how do you know what probiotics you should be taking? Like, they're all different, and some of them can aggravate SIBO if you have that. Some of them aggravate if you've got some different kinds of overgrowths. It's going to teach us advanced techniques for boosting your energy through the microbiome. This is priceless. I priced it at $97, but it's priceless because you're going to get so much value from that. So if you add it all up, what are you going to get? You've got the online digestive modules. You've got the group coaching, you've got the recipe collection and the action guides, you've got the Vital Community for 2 months, you've got my 30-day stress transformation system, the food prep video library, Creating a Healing Kitchen, the special report from John Robbins, and the Boosting Energy webinar with Steph. All of that comes out to be $2,636.94. And I want you so badly to be able to get this, and it is totally worth it for the transformation that you'll have. However, I want you to be able to afford this, and this is what I decided to do. If I can get enough people in the program paying us $497, we can afford to offer you this level of support, because the level of support is intense. My time on those calls, my practitioner's time on those calls supporting me, the journals that you get to fill out that we look at, the Facebook group, you can get all of this. Our price is an investment of $497. It is absolutely going to change your life. And these are a couple of people. We have some case studies. Veronica, she had had decades of chronic digestive issues and food allergies. And what she says is, I'm so impressed by Dr. Ademry. She taught me way more than I ever knew, and she made it so easy to understand. And I'm finally seeing improvements which have eluded me for decades. My only regret is that I didn't discover this sooner. Thank you, Dr. Ademry. And here's Patty. She's a health coach. She had leaky gut, gas and bloating, trying for over a year to heal it on her own. And she lost 10 pounds in putting these principles into place. She's been trying for over a year. When she started, everything clicked. She found it informative, well laid out, and she found the recommendations easy to follow. And finally, she was able to get rid of the bloating, the stomach pains, and the digestive upset, and lost 10 pounds as a side effect. And then we have Heidi, who's another health coach. And these are health coaches who just didn't have the tools they needed to fix their guts. They came into this program and they found things that were beyond what they'd heard before. She had had digestive issues since her mid-20s, bloating, gas, constipation, diarrhea. She'd had ultrasounds and CT scans, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong. She'd been trying for over a year to heal that. And once she began following the protocols, the bloating and diarrhea went away. She started having 2 to 3 bowel movements a day. The gas disappeared. And then she just started to share this information with her clients who are getting great results. And she says, thank you for all you do. My life is definitely so much richer and healthier. This was an investment in themselves that they made because they knew what it was costing them to not. This is my friend Ocean Robbins, who's really into the toxicity of food and helping prevent us from having the toxicity in our food. They really stand for it. They're from the Food Revolution Network. And he says, pollution in our world and toxins in the food are wreaking havoc on our guts. And I totally agree, and I've shared that with you. And he says, in fact, most of us are walking around with seriously compromised digestive tracts. I agree with that too. What he says is Dr. Ademry's work can change all that. She'll hold your hand, walk you through the steps you can take to heal your gut and help you to heal your life. Thank you, Ocean. So we've gone through the value of this program is $26,36.34. And I like to reward people for fast response. You came out and did this program. You did this today. And what you're going to see pop up is a link that you can click on. If that's a challenge and a stretch, we want to make it really easy. You want to register now at happybellysystem.com. We have a 30-day money-back guarantee, but it doesn't, I don't want you to just say, oh, this is too hard. I want to hold you accountable. I want you to come to the calls, fill out your journals, and if you're not having results after 30 days, we're going to talk to you and see what we can do to tweak it. And if we both agree that it's not working, you get your money back. Happybellysystem.com is where we've put it up there. So I encourage you, if you want to read everything that we've written, you can go to happybellysystem.com and get started. I want to get to know you. I want to get to know your complaints, your gut. And you know, that sounds weird, your complaints, but I want to know what's going on down there for you and help you, like we helped Heidi and Patty and countless others that have come through that program. and through my private practice over the years.
You're going to get supported, and there's no programs out there that give you this level of support. I've looked at them all, and I'm not saying that to toot my own horn. It's just because I care enough that I want you to get results, and I'm not going to just give you a self-study program with a bunch of modules and say, here, go do this. I'm actually taking it through you. Craig wants to know, are there tests a person can do at home to diagnose digestive tract disorder? You have to be tested at a doctor or hospital. You know, you can do the transit time test. You can, there's some tests you can test for pH. There's actually a little pH paper you can swallow and it tells you, or you can do a HCL challenge. And we teach you all of that in the program. Anything that we think you can do at home, you can. And we want you to get as much results. And then if there's still some lingering issues, and you may want to have some other stuff, but it's invasive. It's expensive. If you stay a member of our community, our Vital Health community, as a premium member, we will allow you to retake the program whenever we do it. So that's the other thing about this, is just you get access to it again and again. You get access to the website after the program ends for at least a year. And quite frankly, we haven't even figured out the mechanism for kicking you out after a year. It's not worth it. So you basically can stay. We just promise you a year just in case something shifts and we can't give you more, but you have it for at least a year. Dina says, I eat a whole foods plant-based diet, not sure what else to eliminate. No oil, only gluten is the Ezekiel bread I eat. Well, there's no such thing as mostly gluten-free. And if you're still eating Ezekiel bread and you're having digestive issues, I think that's where it has to go. So getting rid of the gluten, getting rid of dairy if you do any of it. And we have a whole list of foods. And it's a matter of finding out for you what it is. What's bothering you? If you're still having digestive issues and you're eating, a whole foods, what you think is a healthy diet, it's not healthy enough for you to heal. Chrissy said, you mentioned using chiropractic adjustments with patients you see in person. How would that piece be included for those out of your area? Well, first of all, I don't see patients in person for chiropractic anymore. I've closed that part of my practice down. And I refer people. So if I feel like someone needs that, like sometimes people have what's called a hiatal hernia. We'll talk about it in the program, and there's specific manipulative techniques, and you can find a local chiropractor in your area, or you can find a video on YouTube that helps you do it yourself. And if that doesn't work, you go to the local chiropractor. Oh, Karen lost her gallbladder at age 21, now 50. What medication, what implications? Yeah. So when you don't have a gallbladder, that means that your liver's producing bile, but it doesn't have a place to store it and concentrate it. So your liver is just always producing the bile. If you're eating a fatty meal, the liver may not produce enough to get it out there in a concentrated enough form to really fully digest that meal. The other thing that the gallbladder does is it secretes bicarbonate to help neutralize the contents of the stomach, which are very acidic, so that they become more alkaline, so that the pancreatic enzymes can work. The pancreatic enzymes require an alkaline environment. The stomach requires acid. And you have two ways that you get it alkalized. One is the gallbladder, one is the pancreas. And if you lose the pancreas, you lose part of that ability, which means you may not have good pancreatic function, and you may not be able to digest your starches and your fats real well. Think hiatal hernias are related to gut imbalance issues? Absolutely. Because a hiatal hernia is where the stomach starts to inch its way up through the esophagus, the lower part of the esophagus. So it could be a lax lower esophageal sphincter. It could be pressure from other areas in other organs. And those are things that can be corrected. Absolutely. Blastocystis hominis. Yeah, a lot of people that when I test their stools, they have blastocystis hominis. It's a little trickier. It takes a little longer, but yes, it responds. Absolutely responds. So thank you, everybody, for being here. I look forward to those of you who have already decided to join us. I look forward to spending time with you, to getting to know you, to really helping you on this path to recovery.